Blog Talk Radio.
Ooh-ay-o, mm-hmm, ooh-ay-o, mm-hmm, ooh-ay-o, mm-hmm, ooh-ay-o, mm-hmm,
ooh-ay-o. I've been walking,
mm-hmm, ooh-ay-o,
with my face turned mm-hmm, to
stars fill the night.
That's why I wanna
stand up,
take my
people with me.
Together we are
going
to a
brand new home far across the river.
Can you hear
freedom calling, calling me to enter?
Gotta keep on
keeping on. I can feel it in my bones.
And I know what's around the bend might be hard to face, 'cause I'm alone and I just might fail. But Lord knows I tried. Sure as
stars fill up the sky.
Welcome to the Truth and Power Corner. Today's air date is February 4th, 2022. Beauty 7. It is 6 a.m. after the death of Malcolm. We have a lot of things coming up planned for this month. In March, with the Republic of New Africa, February 12th, we will be having film discussion and meet and greet at 1077 Range Road. That's a $5 donation. We'll be watching the movie Negroes with Guns and having a discussion about it. So come out, you know, join us and join the party so that we can, you know, sit down and start being some critical thinkers and get some solutions together out here. Coming up in March is our National New African Nations Day, the weekend of March 24th through the 29th of 2022 in Birmingham, Alabama. We're going to have our Nations Day and our NGOMA. Please be in attendance. If you don't attend, donate. Donate, donate. Visit us, check us out on our website at pg-rna.com. Like I said, today was supposed to be our first Friday panel session with the Truth and the Brooklyn Bomber. But I know that we've been had a couple of, you know, storms going on and different things. Electricity is out and different things. So we haven't been able to, I haven't been able to get in touch with anybody this evening. So I'm gonna talk for a minute, and then if they don't come on, we just gonna get on off the, you know, off the air, because we can always invite them to another show. We can always invite them back to another show, because look like they got caught up. So we're gonna let them go on, and whatever went on, we're gonna let them go ahead and see what happens, because they haven't picked up yet. So it must be some electrical issues or whatever. So I'm not gonna just tarry too long. Like I said, today would have been a great show coming back. It's it'll be Brother Malik coming back from a sabbatical. Like I said, I'm not sure what happened, because I was talking to him earlier, and something had to happen electrically for me not to be able to get in contact with them now. So, like I said, I'm gonna wait a few more minutes, and if they don't come, we're gonna go ahead and, you know, Ross. Oh, I see a calling call being if a caller wants to speak. Area code 901. We can start a conversation now, because like I said, for some reason I'm not able to get in touch with my guests electronically. So I think like one of them in New York and one in California. So I don't know if they got caught up in storms. I'm not sure what happened. So we talk. So how you doing tonight, if you want to speak? And I totally understand if you don't, because like I said, I want to wait a few more seconds, and then I'm wait a few more seconds to see if my caller will call in. And if they don't call in, we will be getting off, because we can most definitely reschedule, for real. There's been a kind of messed up day for everybody with electricity problems and everything. But like I said, we're just going to have a transparent conversation about different things that are going on in our communities and in our townships right now, that personally I think that we as Black people, we should be actively working on these things and should be getting some of these solutions out there. Like I said, I want to invite you all to our film discussion and meet and greet on February 12th at 1077 Range Road. It's a $5 donation. Come out, watch the movie, Negroes with Guns. We're going to have a discussion. Like I said, becoming critical thinkers, getting solutions out to our neighborhood. We are also going to, okay, I'm going to open up the line and let a caller come in. Hold on a second. Okay, area code 901-292. Come on in. How you doing? If I know who this is, how you doing tonight? Come on in, Mom. I was just about to tell them about Nan, so you can tell them about Nan, what's going on in Birmingham.
Oh, Free the Land, Melly Queen, and to our beautiful audience, radio audience, so Free the Land, comrades. It's always a pleasure to be on your show, Melly Queen. Our March 25th through 27th, 2022, we will assemble in Birmingham, and we are asking all people who believe, all, you know, Black people who believe in land, self-determination, nationhood, separation, and of course reparations, to meet us in Birmingham for the 3 days, so that we can reason together, share information, and be encouraged by one another to continue the work. So yes, we will be in Birmingham, And of course, our theme this year is, what time is it? It is New African Nation Time, Sovereignty in Our Lifetime. Absolutely.
Exactly. Nothing but, nothing less. Nothing less. Because that was one of the things we were talking about, we were been talking about today, was getting our health and getting our issues together with our bodies and stuff and quit making excuses when we know that it's killing us. We know. So what is the problem? So we got to work on being consistent with our actions as much as our conversation. So we have a whole lot to say.
I totally agree with you. Totally agree, Melly Queen. Now is the, I guess we have to hold each other accountable, because right now it's not about what we do, because we are great speakers, we're great thinkers, we're great planners, we're great everything, but it's not about what you say anymore, it's about what you do. It's not about what you say, it's about what you do.
We may use now, Brian. Because if we use the brain, if somebody taught us how to use, we're not using our brain. Most people, and it's sickening. It's sickening. Because I want
totally.
Go ahead, Mom.
I definitely agree with you, Melly Queen, because it is about being able to step out of a paradigm. We call it stepping out of the box. You know, we have 13 steps of stepping out of a box, because, yes, we've been taught to think a certain way, to act a certain way, because we've been given those particular behaviors and belief systems by a conqueror. A conqueror. That conqueror happens to be capitalism, imperialism. So when what we call a Eurocentric cultural paradigm, a cultural perspective that does not benefit who we are as a African, new African, indigenous people. It does not fit. It is, and that's why we have a lot of what we call dis-ease. We are uncomfortable in our own skins. I believe the doctor, the late, great Dr. Bobby White calls it menticide. So we are in a place where when we do regain our African consciousness and we do regain that mindset, there are layers, there are stages you go through, because it is like an awakening. It's it's like a death and yet a rebirth. And so we have to go through those stages. And it's really a beautiful thing to see it happening, but it's painful to go through, because change is painful. Change from within, and changing your whole mindset, your whole paradigm, your whole lifestyle, your whole eating on every single level, physically, mentally, psychologically, socially, you know, economically. It's painful. But yet, at the end of the day, there's that happiness.
Because, yes, and you're sickening, because we have to, you know how when you live that life so long, and then when the truth comes, the truth is hurtful. The truth don't care about your feelings and things like that. Because, you know, they tell you to lie because they say they don't want to hurt you, you know. No, don't give me that hard, honest truth so I can go on and get it out the way.
Absolutely. Yep, absolutely. Because it's a shedding. It's a shedding. And, you know, anytime there's a shedding of anything, it's a process that you go through. I admire people who can say, I'm getting ready to do this, and it happens. They, you know, how they, I say, I'm not eating any more poisonous foods for my body, and they're able to stop immediately. Some of us have to detox slowly. It's like I no longer, I'm going to drink alcohol. And you know that you are what you call it. Some people can't stop like that. That's why they have support groups. They have the 10-step program. They have all the things to help them detox and to stay detox for the rest of their lives. And other people can stop. Same as smoking. Some people can just put that cigarette down. I'm done. I'm finished. Some people can stop drinking sodas and Cokes. I'm done. I'm finished. And some people have to do it slowly, and they slip and fall and get back on. Same thing about nation building and discovering who you are and what you are and what the truth is. So everybody in their own time and in their own fashion, but yet the same mission and the same purpose.
Exactly. Exactly. So this building a black nation, and that's what. That's what black people are afraid of, putting themselves first. Because it means always please this master. You know, every time I see a black man, just like, what's his name? Shaquille O'Neal, right? Every time you see him around no white women and no white casters, right? He always jumping around acting silly and stuff. And I'm like, he has to act like that so that they can say he's not scared. Oh, it makes me sick. Oh, it's just different things I see still going on. Little stuff like that. The way they did Whoopi Goldberg this week. That lady didn't even say nothing. And they made her back. Go back on what she said and tell a lie.
Well, the question is, it depends on whose truth you're talking about, because that's a whole national, question, and it is a belief system that has been indoctrinated in many of us. We literally believe that those who practice the Hebrew faith is a race of people, because that is what's been promoted since they decided since they were persecuted in World War II. You're talking about the Ashkenazis of Europe, not the Shepherdies, the Ashkenazis and the gypsies and some Africans that were persecuted because they were trying to perpetuate the blonde-haired, blue-eyed superior race theory. And the whole world bought it because they took another group of people that happened to have certain characteristics, certain economic existences, because they were the merchants. They were the merchants of Europe, and they had built a very strong economic system. And they were persecuted because they had some lineages. They had some ties to the Hebrew faith because they practiced the faith. And they are considered a so-called race of people. And
they were talking about the ones that Hitler killed, the ones that he's supposed to say were white and blue eyed. I thought they were talking about from the ones that said that they were African and all of that. Oh, hold on, Mama. Here's my guest, Mama. Hold on,
okay.
Let me introduce them to the show right quick. All right. How you doing, Brother Malik? How you doing today? Welcome to the show. I understand.
Peace and Black Power, community.
Okay.
How you doing? Sorry I'm late, but I got a couple, two or three grills going at one time. So I'm apologize to the audience for being late, but I'm trying to multitask here. How you doing, Queen? Thank you
doing
for having
good.
Me.
I'm glad to hear from you. How you been doing? How your family doing?
Well, under the conditions, it's about as good as can be expected, Sister Millie Queen, and that's really all I can say. I'm doing about as good as can be expected. but I'm doing much better than I thought and much better than I have been. So thank you for asking.
That's good. That's good, because, you know, we here as always, because that's one of the things that we wanted to talk about today was the things that have been going on for these past, you know, ending of 2021 into 2022. It's been a lot of deaths in our individual families and different things. I think each one of us on this call, Brother Malik, we have Ayo here, and myself. Oh, all three lost people during this time. So, like I said, I wanted to talk about how this loss is, especially when it's a child and somebody that's very close to it. It's just been some trying times for like, just a trying time.
Absolutely.
We gotta bring this back around. So, Brother Malik, I'm gonna start off with you, okay? And you go ahead and talk about the loss of your daughter.
Okay. Well. First of all, I say namaste, Hotep. Peace and black power to you, Sister Millie Queen. I don't know if my brother, the Brooklyn Bomber, is on the air. I haven't had a chance to reach out to him. But on the 14th of December, I lost my firstborn and oldest daughter at the age of 38 years old. And she died in her sleep next to her husband in the bed, unexpectedly. However, as her father, I wanted to have an autopsy done because the basis of my daughter's death is simply something Sister Millie Queen, you, and I'm sure others in the listening audience have heard me and others, including yourself, speak about. Underlying medical conditions is like death. It doesn't discriminate. It doesn't have an age. It doesn't have a gender. It doesn't have a preference. I say that to say because the first thing people ask you is, well, what happened? What did your daughter die from? Or just anyone who, you know, you lose someone or a friend in the family. That's a typical question. And the answer through this hurt and pain for my daughter is simply underlying medical conditions. She was 38 years old, yet she had high blood pressure. Heart disease runs in my family, both sides, her mom as well as my side. She was diabetic, which is what happened. She lapsed into a diabetic coma, and she didn't wake up. And the contributing factors to the diabetic coma, again, can't emphasize it enough, is underlying medical conditions. When you're 38 years old and you have four or five things that are affecting you on a daily basis with your health, they are simply considered underlying medical conditions. And my daughter treated them as best as she could. But sometimes your body can't bear all that it is given. And unfortunately, that's what happened to my daughter, Sister Millie Queen. So we have to understand, again, that underlying medical conditions, yes, it does affect black people. But what I found out through this experience with my daughter, with all the work that I've done and so many others like yourself, is that we still think that, death and illness and diseases discriminate, and they just simply don't. And so that's what I'm going to be focusing on all of this year. You know, I don't care where I speak, when I speak, and what platform it is. Our people need to really, really, really understand that underlying medical conditions are not to be played with. And if you have medical insurance and you have access to good, decent doctors, please absolutely take advantage of any and all of that. And so, and in closing, exactly one day later, the very next night on December the 15th, I lost a nephew. One of my sisters lost her only son. He was diabetic. He was a double amputee, and he basically died trying to open his front door to his apartment at 41 years old. with, of course, with him being a diabetic, Sister Millie Queen in the listening audience. Obviously, he had a buildup of underlying medical conditions. So even with him, in which we wasn't so surprised by his death, with all due respect, versus my daughter, it all still equates, listening audience, to underlying medical conditions, and we must, absolutely positively must, take them serious and do all we can to emphasize on it. So thank you for allowing me to share this story. The audience also needs to know this is the first time that I've spoken since losing my daughter last year. I have completely shut down, and I thought if I was going to speak in the new year that my sister Millie Queen and the Truth and Power Corner would be the ideal time to do it. So thank you for allowing me to share that story, and hopefully it'll have an impact on those that are listening now and those that will be listening in the coming future. Underlying medical conditions are serious. Black people don't discriminate age or gender. And I'll just pretty much leave it at that.
Exactly. You want to add commented, Mamaya?
My condolences, comrade brother, my condolences. And I think that affects every family, particularly when we talk about the black family, the what we call the new African community, because of the epigenetics that is in our personal families, our genes, as well as our diet, and what we call the war on food for African people. We are used to eating a certain way. We like to eat. We love seasoning our food, and the foods that we're used to, the foods that we love, coupled with all of the snack food and all of the things in our community that may taste good but not are good for us. It's a battle. It's a very, very strong battle. And it is incumbent, and I put a lot. We put a lot of responsibility onto the mothers, because the mothers are the first nurturers. The mothers feed the children. They teach our. We teach each other how to cook. We teach each other. We feed the brothers. And it is just a cycle. And what started off as food for survival has now become, in some instances, poisonous. And that's not trying to talk about anybody's way they want to eat and how they want to eat, but we have to be practical. It is a war. It is a war on black people. And coupled with COVID, those underlying conditions that we carry with us in our community are taking us out seriously, because I believe in the teachings of Dr. Sabi. I believe in the teachings of the late Dr. Sabi, the late Dr. Laila O. Africa. I believe in Dr. Goss. And they spent their lives, Dick Gregory, they spent their lives encouraging our people and warning us. This is what is happening. We have to be serious. We have to be scientific with ourselves. And there's going to be a lot of us lost. And it starts from the womb. It starts from the school system. And then we wake up and we're in crisis, and it's happening to us, as the dear brother has said, younger and younger. We used to think diabetes and high blood pressure were diseases for the elders. And unfortunately, I have a niece who, by the time she was 10, 11, she was already dealing with diabetes. So it is prevalent in our community, and there are basic things that we can do with one another. And we're losing family members. We're losing our mates. And unfortunately, some of us are leaving the planet too soon. Very sorrowful, very, very sorrowful for all of us. So with that, I yield, and again, my condolences. comrade.
Thank you, sister. And you touched on some very, very, very important issues, piggybacking off of what I said. And again, I hope everyone is taking heed. Brothers and sisters, I have lost my parents, grandparents, uncles, some siblings, friends, college friends, childhood friends. But only thing I can tell you, it's a feeling of losing a child that cannot be explained. It's an entirely different pain that I wouldn't wish on anyone. But getting back to the health aspect of it, my daughter thought she was in pretty good health, especially having a healthy driven father as myself. But I try not to infringe too much, unlike a lot of parents. I'm kind of old school, so I kind of like trying to not infringe on my adult children's lives, especially with all of them have husbands and wives and their own homes. And all you can do is tell them. And I'm saying that because my daughter really thought she was healthy, yet at 38 years old, underlying medical conditions consist of, again, high blood pressure, heart disease, upper respiratory problems, asthma. And as the sister said, what I really want to focus on is that the stress of the pandemic, brothers and sisters, this cannot go unnoticed. The stress of the pandemic can articulate illness in your body to start coming about. And that's what happened. My daughter being at home, being a wife, being a mother, kids in and out of school. One minute they at home teaching. The next minute they're going to school. It takes its toll. And again, the underlying medical conditions, they flare up. You know, the terminology flare up. And that's exactly what happened to my daughter. So I just cannot stress enough that underlying medical conditions are cannot remain taboo in the black community. More importantly, you have to be willing to change. I know for a fact, changing my name, changing my religion, changing my beliefs, I became the generational curse breaker in my family. And it starts with nothing else. Nothing is more important. Religious conversion, changing because of your name, nothing is more important than changing your diet, like the sister said. And what we do because of family traditions, because of so-called overall traditions, we don't want to let go of things that are no good for us, yet they look good to us and they taste good to us. And that's those words we call soul food. Most black people haven't broken down what soul food is really about in terms of our health. And the sister hit on that. And I want to focus on it because it remains a problem in black families, including my family, including my daughter's family with her husband and her children. You have to change your diet. You know, you have to change your diet. You can't say, well, I'm going to eat chitlins because grandma ate chitlins and she lived to be 90 years old. I mean, how many of y'all have heard that excuse? You know, I'm going to keep eating pork because grandma ate pork and she lived to be 100 years old. You have to change your diet. And why am I sharing this all with you? Because I don't want to happen to my daughter. And as Sister Millie Queen has said before introducing me, so many of us, and then the sister turned around and made it clear that it's a black community issue. We have to understand change is good. A lot of us are scared of it. We worry about what other people think. We worry about our family. You got to change your diet, brothers and sisters. Change the way you think is my saying as a world travel motivational speaker. I've always said change the way you think so you can change the way you live. Because once you change the thought process, it'll automatically change every category in your life, be it your religious beliefs, be it your name, more importantly, be it your diet. You change your diet, you change the way you live, you change the way you eat, you change your health. My daughter simply had, in closing, brothers and sisters, my daughter simply has what most of us black people have, bad eating habits, because we don't want to change them. The food is good. okay? I don't want my, you know, you guys act like it's a crime to introduce your children to good, healthy eating at a young age, you know? So this picture is so big in losing my daughter because it could have been avoided, but we all make mistakes, you know, and she made some mistakes in terms of her health, eating habits, and hopefully, Sister Queen and our sister and the listening audience, hopefully, as her husband, my son-in-law, has promised me because of my grandchildren, hopefully he will stick to his word. It's never too late to change the diet of him, his children, my grandchildren, and including helping to change the family. So be a generational curse breaker. Let me throw that in. Be a generational curse breaker. Be a family curse breaker. Because if it's no good for you, it's no good for your family. And don't be selfish about it. And don't be afraid of what anyone thinks. Because if you do, you end up doing, hopefully, God forbid, losing a healthy 38-year-old daughter in her sleep unexpectedly. Brothers and sisters, it's pain that I cannot explain. And I do thank again Sister Millie Queen for allowing me to use this platform because she knows I've always been an advocate of healthy eating, healthy living, you know, that balance, keeping your life balanced. But what's that saying? It hits different when it hits the way it hits me and losing my daughter and getting that typical 2:30 in the morning phone call that we all do. Thank you, brothers and sisters.
Yeah, I feel you. Yeah, and like I say, you know, we're here for you. We love you. Oh, we're going to let somebody else and call them. We're going to add them to the show. Area code 347-277. Welcome in to the show. How you doing today?
Salute, peace and power. What's going on?
How you doing, Gerald? What's up? How y'all doing? What's up, man?
What's going on?
Is that my booking phone right here on here?
Oh, yeah.
Yep,
oh, yeah.
There you go.
How you doing, comrade? Honor and pleasure to hear from you, brother.
How are you?
Oh, man, I got on here about 15 minutes late, but I forgot I had a major cooking job for Flint's restaurant. So I'm doing about 20 slabs of ribs, about 20 whole chickens, and about 150 links.
Well, that's what you do. That work keeps you busy.
Yeah, and this is exactly what I was just telling the listening audience. This is my first time appearing on the radio. I thought it would be a great time to do it. If it was going to be a show, it should be this one. And this is my first cooking project of the year because, as you know, General, everybody's been respecting my space, and I appreciate that. But I'm honored and privileged to hear from you, brother.
That's what it is. And, you know, of course, you know, dealing with that and with everybody dealing with a lot of that grieving process over the last few months, you know, it's been a familiar and an unpleasant presence that I had to have with not only you, my comrade, but with some of my clients and associates. And we all wish the best for you. We all send you strength. We're going to continue to send you strength and continue to love on you. We are happy that, you know, that you are able, you know, to cook and to, you know, have a little space where you can at least have your head, you know, a bit balanced, you know. So we're definitely glad that you joined us. You know, it took me extra time to get home today because of what we're going through up here. But I wasn't going to miss. You know, we've been a couple of months removed from this listening audience, and, you know, we have to make sure that everybody stays motivated just as well as we motivate ourselves. So I'm glad to be here with you and our comrade, Queen Melly, you know, so we can do what we do, you know?
Absolutely. And let me take this time to thank Sister Millie Queen, to thank Brother Karim Brookenbummer, because we have Facebook friends and we act like we're friends on Facebook and we love and we care about each other, that fake love and all of that. But when you have Facebook family, like Brother Karim and Sister Millie Queen, even before I lost my daughter, just knowing that I'm retired and I don't act like it and I do a whole lot more than I'm supposed to. You guys have always reached out and let me know you appreciate it. Checked on my health, my well-being, not just for me, but for my family. So I'm not surprised that you loved on me as you did in losing my daughter, and you continue to do so. And, again, I'm honored to be here, being that, again, this is my first time speaking in well over 2 or 3 months, and I thought if I was going to do it for the first time in a new year, this would be the perfect opportunity. I knew I would have the platform to emphasize something that, you know, Brother Karim, we've always talked about in tag teaming. Sister Millie Queen knows we've always talked about it. But it hits different talking about underlying medical condition when it affects your 38-year-old daughter to the point that she loses her life in her sleep next to her husband in the next room over from her children. It puts a different perspective on underlying medical conditions and on our people's attitude about it in terms of Brother Karim. Again, I don't know how much of her show you heard, but it doesn't discriminate, man. Huh? It doesn't discriminate.
None of this does. None of it does. And you know, it is always going to be situations like this that test our resolve. Because,
there you go.
Again, you know, it lends to the notion and the facts, right, that this is very serious work that we intake. And at times, you know, it is those, you know, who know us the most, who have the best contact with us, who are trying to, you know, look and take it as if we just believe in, as we believe, that they don't have to manifest the actions, you know. And it's whether it's that or, you know, in my work, gun violence and talking and keeping it in the face of the people who I see on a daily basis. And when they succumb to the gun violence, you know, it's heavy for me. It's very heavy. So, you know, I definitely understand, you know, exactly what it's taking for you to move on, to speak, you know, and to grieve the only way that you know how to do it, you know?
Well, you know, as a reminder, Brother Karim, you know, I lost my nephew the very next night.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I put my grieving on hold so my sister and the remaining family wouldn't be weak and vulnerable. I mean, wouldn't be vulnerable during their time of weakness. So, you know, I'm still dealing with my sister losing her daughter, her son, her only son, the very next day. You know, so, yeah, it's very tough. But it happened to me because I think I'm the perfect vessel. I'm the perfect conduit with the work that I've done for over 25 years to get the people to really understand. I've stood and spoke at a lot of children's funerals around this country, black and brown, but I never thought that I would have to stand up and say goodbye to my firstborn, my daughter, at 38 years old. So again, brothers and sisters, underlying medical conditions are no joke. And I don't know what you feel about it, Brother Karim, but if you don't mind, could you touch on this? Because it starts with the fact you have to be willing to break generational and so-called family curses. And the reason why I keep bringing that up is because the number one category outside of holidays is this so-called soul food and these bad eating habits from family tradition. Can you speak on that, being that I already have?
Definitely.
Because that's the problem right there. Trust me.
Well, there's a belief, again, and we want to, you know, how we like to do it, and being that, you know, it's so-called Black History Month, right, we have to speak to the false narrative that we live under, that we hold so dear to. And when we're speaking about food and soul food and our belief in it, and how, not only how we eat, but how much of it, you understand? It becomes not only problematic, but it also lends to the degrees of which that we have these health problems in our community, amongst our people. I was happened to be raised by a father who broke that generational curse when he became a 5%er, and then subsequently followed and practiced Orthodox Islam. So I was never raised under pork. I've never tasted pork in my life. My father ate a specific way, and to this day, I eat in that same format, you know. And once I got a certain age, my body started rejecting dairy. And in 2000, I stopped eating red meat, you know. So, again, we have to get away from the belief that that is our food, or these diets are our diets, and the way that we also incorporated the European basic format as far as breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and things like that.
Absolutely.
As something that we can continuously do because it's all we know. No, we have to seek and find out and say, well, if that isn't good for us, you know, if we don't believe in the oppression, if we don't believe in the educational systems, if we don't believe in the systems of marriage and how they do their thing, then we come to find out that those are not the best things for us, evidently, and eventually we're going to have to find out that the diets and the way we eat and consume food is not the best for us as well. You know, and have to be disciplined in breaking away from that, you know. And it's very difficult because, again, you know, not only is it generational, but the food, the way it tastes, you know, is very hard to get away from because it's heavy in sugar, it's heavy in salt, and it's heavy in seasoning, these things that tantalize the mouth. So we are, you know, we're going to have to not only buckle down on how often we speak about it, you know, but to make sure that our families understand that by watching how we eat and the benefits of it, you know, we can get away from that. We can get away from these things. But, it's difficult like anything else is when you're coming up in these oppressive institutions and these conditions. You know, we've become very comfortable, over-comfortable with, just allowing the practice of letting somebody else take care of us continue. You know, that's all we speak about. We cannot continue to allow these people and the way that we have been conditioned to living under these systems to continuously be in charge. You know, it's lazy. So we got to get away from that laziness and start taking charge over these things and saying, you know what, we got to put this butter away. You understand? You know what? I got to back away, you know, from these smothered chitlins and all that. You know, we got to back away, you know, from all of that stuff. You understand? We got to, you know, just do it, you know, and find a different way to be.
It's so true.
And Brother Kareem, in closing, that's why I said, it starts with breaking family curses. And a lot of people, like you said, brother, we just ended deep. Let me give the family, the listening audience, a brief history on so-called soul food. The soul food mechanism came from the slave master. And this is why when you're watching things like documentaries or movies or even listening to a video, I mean, you really go to the root of what it's about. I mean, if the music is good but you don't understand the movie, then, you know, you waste your time watching the movie. But when you look at, let's go to Roots. When he comes, the scene where he comes into the barn and he gives Kunta Kinte the fat and the grits, and he says, grit dummy. Black people need to understand terminology. Soul food comes from the scraps of the slave master's plates. That's
right.
Where prior to us being kidnapped from Africa, we didn't eat pig guts. See?
No.
We didn't eat that kind of food. But what we did, Brother Kareem, we bought right into the European way of eating, just like we did everything else. We have problems today because we defy ourselves by label, name brands, which simply means European, the European look. The black woman, pride, dyed head laid to the side with the hair. The black man got to have a white woman on his shoulder. He got the prize. He got the trophy. All of these are conditions that were instilled in us. Like you have said, Brother Kareem, we have to be willing to break them ourselves. I didn't have a slave master to stop me from eating chitlins. I didn't have a slave master that stopped me from eating pork and stopped me from eating dairy products. I didn't continue to say the number one excuse that I continue to hear, even during these 3 months of losing my daughter, coinciding and talking to the family. The number one excuse we have, brothers and sisters, that I know y'all out of here. I know y'all can hear it. Grandma ate. Grandpa ate. Okay? Because we don't look at that things work wrong differently. Hell, the pigs that you get the chitlins from are not even the same pigs when grandma and grandpa was coming up back in the day.
Exactly. Speak on it. Speak on it.
The reason why I'm so excited about it, because this is the main thing, Brother Kareem, Sister Millie Queen, and the listening audience. The number one conversation I had with my daughter's family, which means her children and her husband, generational family curses, including bad eating habits, not going to the doctor, which was at one time a black man's problem. Now it's a black people's problem, period, because we sometimes won't even take our children or grandchildren to the doctor. So, brothers and sisters, I got to get out of here because I've got 3 grills going at one time. Thank you, Sister Millie Queen, because this is a subject matter that I wanted to talk about openly, not so for selfish reasons, but for the fact that I want our people to understand that we don't need a coronavirus or any other disease to hit this country to remind us that black people are the poster child for underlying medical conditions. And I'm going to say something that I've been saying. Brother Kareem and Sister Millie Queen is my witness. These people, most of our people, are not dying strictly from COVID. The terminology is complications of COVID. So this is what I want you all to do in closing, listening audience. Go look up what it means when a person says complications. Because for black people, the word, you know where I'm going with this, Jim. The word complication simply means underlying medical conditions. Underlying medical conditions. You don't bury your daughter 38 years old because she has high blood pressure, heart disease, diabetes, asthma. And then when the coronavirus and the lockdown, as I said, being a wife, being a mother, the kids in school, the kids out of school, you're dealing with the administrators and the teachers a little bit more than you usually do. Everything is closing in. And what happened?
Right. Exactly.
Got my daughter 38 years old in her sleep. But no warning sign, no anything, because the warning sign is underlying medical conditions, brothers and sisters. So, again, thank you all for allowing me to join the show. Brother Kareem, I will give you a call as soon as I can. Sister Millie Queen, thank you, thank you, thank you. I don't mean to be rude, but Sister Millie Queen and Brother Kareem understand what I'm dealing with. I'm cooking a whole lot of meat over here one time
yes,
by myself.
Yes, that's right. Go do what you got to do.
But I was able to get on and at least cover the issues that Millie Queen wanted to cover, which was underlying medical condition. Oh, and please, brothers and sisters, if you can afford, by any means, get life insurance. Because the
Definitely.
First thing that I had to do was see if my daughter and husband had life insurance, and they had let it lapse. So that put me in the situation that I had to immediately give them working capital. So if you can afford any kind of insurance, brothers and sisters, even if it's only to be cremated, I'm not going to get into how people want to be buried and all of that, but I am going to let you guys know.
Mm-hmm.
We all going to
And if you don't want to be putting up a GoFundMe page and selling chicken dinners and begging your family and friends, get some life insurance, brothers and sisters. Get some life insurance. Break family curses. Break generational curses, which, number one, will take care of bad eating habits, okay? Get you some life insurance and try to get off of those pills and that alcohol and get more into natural preserves, even cannabis. Peace and black power. Ashe, Namaste, Hotep. Assalamu alaikum to you, Brother Karim, and all my Muslim brothers and sisters out there. This is Brother Malik Abdul Muhammad, the truth. Thank you all for letting me talk. I got to go. Love you much. Ashe.
We love you,
Ashe.
Too. Ashe.
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 Love
Ashe.
You, Brother Malik. Love you, Brother Malik. All right, Mama Ayo, you called in. That was Mama Ayo on the phone, too, General Karim. Mama Ayo, you can come on in if you want to say something right now.
I definitely want to support what Brother Karim and Brother Malik have been speaking about. We've been speaking about this a lot in the Ministry of Health and Society in the Republic of New Africa. We are encouraging our people to be more plant based, to get rid of the mucus producing foods, particularly in the flu season. Coupled with these underlying health conditions that have plagued our community. And I'm going to tell you what we used to say. How can the people who work sun up, sun down for 357 years and was the healthiest on the planet? I didn't say they lived long because they were worked to the bone, but they were the strongest of the strong, be the most unhealthy now. It is through our food. It is through the food and the energy, because somebody else produces our food. Somebody else puts the chemicals, the dyes, the preservatives in the food that we buy. We are a fast-paced so-called generation now. We have evolved from growing our own, going to the market. When you travel outside this country, you don't see super-duper malls and super-duper grocery stores. Women, and some men go to the market. They cook fresh food. I'm not saying that they're dieting.
Yes.
Their livets, because I'm not going to say diet. I'm not saying their livets are perfect, but you will not see the same amount of obesity and overweight in other countries. So we have a problem. We have a problem of the mind over matter. We have a problem of what you want to put into your temple, what
mm-hmm.
that looks like. And it is not based on iodized salt. Now, outside the country, a lot of African countries are having a problem with the MAGGI, the monosodium glutamate now, but back in the day, they did. So they are picking up some diseases, but not as much as the so-called American diet. We put anything in our mouth. It could be colored, flavored, look stupid. Well, we'll put it in our mouth because we're subliminally controlled. And you have to be able to look at it as something, look at the pack, learn to read. What is make the mind?
Wait a minute, Mama. Your phone messing up.
Your sound is going out, Queen. Well, you know, I would like to definitely add on to what she's saying, Melly Queen. And I've been noticing that because you do know that I am always in some type of grocery store buying foods and things of that nature. And especially in these big cities, in these metropolises, just like the Queen was stating, the way that the food is packaged, the way that it is being, quote-unquote preserved, is very problematic and it is very unhealthy. People do suffer from food deserts, especially in NYC, in Jersey, in Philly, in Detroit, and some of these other urban areas. it's just not coming. And we know that, you know, not only is gentrification and things like that a problem, but industrialization, there's a lack of space and land to grow, continuously grow these foods. And when they do have these foods available and accessible, they're very, very high priced. So it is, you know, almost a space where you are impoverished just trying to eat healthy. You know, everything here is done systematically and through the institutions, you know, and, you know, as bad as a lot of our people would want to eat healthy, even with the knowledge, now we have to deal with the financial aspect of it. I mean, you know, I've been in some stores where you have, you know, apples that are 2 and change a pound, you know, which is unheard of, man. You have, you know, lemons that just one lemon may run you a dollar, you know. It's very, very, very costly to eat healthy. So our people have to be in spaces where they are growing their own, you know, where we're dealing with our own farmers and such, and supporting these efforts, not only here, you know, but as the Queen said, globally. We have to get with merchants who are, you know, in the diaspora or even closer, you know, in the Caribbean, who are growing these foods and these herbs and these things that we need to intake daily. You know, it's not just as easy as we believe, and we also know that nothing here is easy. It's going to be hard. It's going to take discipline, but we have to do it because, as the Queen said, we are suffering dearly from that, from just the picking up and believing that we can just put anything in our mouth, you know, or just going to the store and purchasing anything, you know, especially because it's of a certain color or because it's packaged or because they are over promoted for you, you know, in mass media to get you to eat these things that are unhealthy.
I say, go ahead, Mom. I know it's your phone back in.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
Okay, thank you. I as I said, we are in perfect agreement and definitely in alignment because there's so many layers to help. One of the things that I do want to encourage the listening audience and Brother Malik is it's a very devastating thing to lose a child, to lose a relative. I lost my son when he was 27. I came home and found him deceased. And, of course, losing your son and having sisters and brothers, people you leave behind, there is the issue of insurance, having to raise money, because you never expect your child to leave you. So, you know, a parent never expects their child to leave the fourth. But also, taking the time to make sure, and this is in hindsight, not as you go through, because I felt like I was, and I know others, feel like you're in a bubble for a very, very, very long time. You're wading through fog. So it's called grief, and it's called shock, and it's called healing. And in hindsight, I have found to realize that we have to find those African-centered therapists who will help the family through grief counseling, because it literally transforms everyone, children, brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers. It does. It's a whole process, and we have to be able to understand that, because whereas our African cultural paradigm allowed in the past for us to grieve in a certain way, that's not true anymore. We have a whole technological society that is very individualistic. And even within families and clans, it still doesn't address how do new Africans grieve? How do we show support? How does the family continue to be supported? A lot of times that just doesn't happen. and we have to talk. We have to talk to one another and with one another. So that is a whole nother phase of health and healing. So I want to encourage anyone who's lost or is losing, because we're losing people every day. I just buried my brother, and but the very fact is that people are waiting for insurance, and luckily he had insurance policies, but even waiting for those insurance policies to pay you, you got the funeral home looking at you like, okay, who's going to pay this? Who's going to do this?
Yeah,
you need to get
definitely.
The ground within a certain amount of days. You know,
exactly.
We don't have a society like in Africa where they'll keep your body on ice for months and months until you're buried. They want folks buried within 5 days here.
Yeah.
You know, in the ground.
Because
and where are you going to get the
Yes.
Where are you going to get that Indeed. Money? Where are you going to get that money? Huh?
Mm-hmm.
And do all those arrangements and to know that 14, 15, 16, 17 bodies are coming in daily. I mean, the purge, everybody is real. And yes, those underlying medical conditions, comrades, are taking us out.
Yes, I definitely agree with you, sister. And Queen Nelly Queen, our comrade, will let you and the listening audience know I've been to, I can't even count over the past 18 months how many times somebody has transitioned family members. I mean, just consistently. It's consistently. And again, we have to be more proactive in our all around health, our mental health, physical health, and spiritual health. And you are right, Queen.
Absolutely.
That there are things that we have gotten away from that we must get back in tune and put the brakes on us being the victims of this purge. Because that's just what it is. At this point, nobody else can even debate that fact. That is the purging going on. And just like with anything else, we are always the worst receivers of any plan that these demonic and other than human individuals devise. We always end up at the worst of it.
I say because brother, whether we know it or not, it is us, black people, new Africans, indigenous, that are the brunt of every experiment. Everything that they do, they watch. They start manipulating because they know that ultimately, yes, our people are not as strong as they used to be, but there's something in our blood. And there's something in that melanin that has the potential to recreate and to actually navigate through. And they're watching. Trust me, we are a big social experiment right now. Those that, as we said before, that have underlying conditions, those that are navigating through over the next 5 years, you and I should be watchful. Watch those that have had COVID and haven't had vaccines, that have taken the vaccines, taken the boosters, taken bloop. I want us to be mindful, watch and see their mental faculties, watch and see what types of side effects come upon them. They're watching to see who is able to actually regenerate and not even... It doesn't even touch them in any way. They might have gotten it. They have natural antibodies. They want that blood, and they want that. I want us to be very, very, very vigilant and do our own research. We have people in our families that aren't taking it. We have people in our families that are very, very that have gone into hiding. They've taken it. They've stayed away from people. Pay attention to their health issues that begin to manifest, the way they think, the way they're acting, because they're not the same. And I mean that, honestly. They're not who we think they are anymore. What is going on?
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
I've heard this so much because they said that just like all these artists, they go to jail. They say they go in there and they clone them. They say that stuff about a lot of stuff. So what is going on?
I concur and agree with this sister. There are scientific experimentations. There are plans, agendas, and working attacks against our people on every level. You know?
Absolutely. And we just have to be vigilant. We have to be vigilant, and I'm in total agreement with the brothers when they talk about when you begin to make a lifestyle change, it's spiritually, emotionally, everything. And part of your emotions is through your water and your food. So we continue to encourage our people. I know that we're in the hood. I live in the hood. I try to go to farmers market. I try to do a little gardening. But I know what my budget is. No, I can't go to Whole Foods. No, I can't go to whatever those places are. But I know what I can do. I can still eat them greens and put some onions and garlic in them and some Himalayan salt, and they taste mighty fine to me. I still eat them pinto beans, black beans, lentils, split peas, and I still eat lots of salads, and I still eat fruit. No, the fruit might not be the top notch, but it's still fruit. And the way I believe black people's melanin can transform and regenerate, because look at what we had to eat when we were enslaved on the plantation and we were dealing with nothing. Can do this. It don't have to be strictly organic. They even saying the organic ain't organic. So what you talking about?
Exactly.
We are some of the most brilliant people on the planet. And if we do what we need to do, eat them apples, drink the juices that we need to, eat that garlic, take that ginger, still eat our coconuts, just basic fruits and vegetables with a few grains, and stay away from other stuff. Yeah, I think we can navigate on through. We can really navigate on through. We can navigate, and we can be healthy. Our men won't be, our women won't be riddled with fibroids and breast cancers, and our children coming out with allergies, and our men will maintain their potency and their strength. We've got 35-year-olds talking about they need Viagra. Who ever heard of such? What is really going on?
Exactly. The word change, lifestyle change. Like you say, changing lifestyles, changing mindset, so change everything you're doing. And it's not easy. Oh my goodness, it's not easy. But it has to be done. Because we are feeding this to our children. I look at sometimes these children in the store, and they have all this crap in their hand. I'm like, they don't even know what a meal is. We got to change this. We have to change this if we want different results from what is going on. Mama Ayu, again, I want to thank you all. General, thank you for coming in, joining the show this evening. This has been another great show. We went over a few minutes, but that's all right, because like I said, I love hearing from you all. Give us your final thoughts, General, and then Mama Ayu, I'm going to let you close out, and you tell us about NAN weekend and our film that we're doing on the 12th. And then we'll go ahead and close the show out. I've lost track of time. Go ahead, General. But I love you all. Thank you all for joining me tonight. This has been a great conversation.
Definitely. Anytime, you know. And you know, just in closing, our people always have to recognize that we're at war. This is not peacetime for us. We're at war, and there's, again, attacks on all levels, spiritually, mentally, physically, economically. We have to understand that and recognize that and be militant as such. So we have to study, research, and we have to love on each other. Remember, love is a revolutionary existence, and revolution is love inspired. So if we love on each other, we don't lie to each other, we don't allow ourselves to live in a space of lies. We have to do what we have to do, stand tall and stand strong, and make sure that we are proactive, right? Proactive in this war. We are not reactionary, waiting to just be picked off. Again, you know where I am. The listening audience know where to find me. All my social media is public, you know, and it is my name, Karim Blizz Johnson, on all social media platforms. I'm welcome to all, and all is welcome to me, so we can build our tribe and do what needs to be done.
I say. Go ahead, Mom.
Well, we are inviting all new Africans to believe in land, separation, self-determination, reparations, the right to independence, to come to our new African Nation Day. It will be the 54th, and it will be in Birmingham, Alabama. You can go to Eventbrite and type in New African Nation Day. If you are not able to attend, there is going to be a Zoom component for a cost. And we're inviting all people who believe in land sovereignty, as we said, to come on down March 25th through the 27th. Birmingham, Alabama, Crescent Cultural Community Center, and let's reason together and plan to build our nation. We're also doing quite a few things in February, as we are all across the country. So February to us is the culmination of 365 Black. So we practice teaching Black history, 365, and, you know, we just want to, we're having a film on the 12th here in Ida B. Wells City. And, of course, it's going to be about Robert Williams and Mabel Williams, and it's called Negroes with Guns. It's a film and discussion. Tells about the foundation of the Republic of New Africa, and we're inviting everyone to come out. It's from 2 to 6. There will be, of course, snacks, vegan snacks, healthy snacks for everyone, and hopefully everyone will be around for the 21st. You will hear all kinds of posting. 21st is our new African New Year. Why? Because it's going to be 50. It's going to celebrate 57 years after ADM, after the death of Malcolm. So free the land, comrades. We greet you with love and peace, and free the land. I am, I will.
I say, like I said, thank you, Mama, for joining us tonight. Thank you, General. This has been another great show. I love you all. Continue to support the Truth and Power Corner. We'll be back with you all next week with another special guest. Tonight we had The Truth coming out of Oakland, California. We had General Karim coming out of East New York. And we had Mama Ayo from Ashby Wells District. Come on in. Thank you all. Like I said, we love you all. Y'all have a great night. All power to the people.
Thank you, Melly. Greetings.
Thank you all. Thank you all so much for joining me, okay?
Yes, love y'all.
Love
and light. Love it. Love and light.
If I can change my color, yeah. If I can change my color, yeah. Sometimes I think if I could change my color, but what I wanna be. They say the whiter the brighter, you black to a fighter. 401 years of oppression, but still managed to pull up in that 2020 Tesla. That's good credit, right? Gotta keep your hustle tight. Take care of your kids, cause that karma hit. And I ain't got no daughters, but I wish I did. These little boys I got, I swear they gotta be militant. Yeah, cause these they killing. And I'll be damned if a could take mine.
don't judge you cause you dark.
Mama, they really had kids in the field. They don't care how it feels. Slavery paid the bills. Mama, this is no more designed for us to fail. How you give a man freedom but don't give a man a bill? Well, mama, what happened to 40 acres and mules? The only time they respect us is when we keep them a meal. Wait, blackface? Why are they making us out of food? Those stereotypes are old. We're going for something to prove. We gotta think harder. We gotta be smarter. They said by the third grade if I can't read, I'ma be just like my father. And that's incarcerated. What happened to proclamation emancipation? I gotta learn all my history. Yeah. It's a mystery. My teacher keep on bringing up slaves. I should keep missing me.
Listen, a wise man once said, education is a passport to the future. But tomorrow belongs to who prepared for it today.
Back in the days, I used to want to be the cop.
I remember.
The good guy, till Rihanna got shot. I couldn't imagine my mama is all I got.
They keep their knee on our neck, it's a sacrifice when we die. George Floyd got killed him, it's no excuses. Over a fake 20, really, that shit was gruesome.
You mean to tell me that Abraham Lincoln didn't really free the slaves?
They don't like you cause you black.
I'm so tired of protesting, but we can't stop protesting until we get our reparation. And we can't stop buying all up in the store, Gucci and Dior, until we get our reparation. Cause as soon as our money starts spinning, they gon' forget everything that we was fighting. They gon' remember why they hated from the beginning. And we got